Good to be in God's house again. Good to see everybody out. Thank you for not making Bible class optional. Thank you for making studying the Word of the Lord together a priority. Amen. I appreciate that. I know some of you all, you prioritize reading your Word, but us studying the Word of God together, I think that's important. So thank you so much for availing yourself to tonight and being here with me. I appreciate that. And it's always good to see everybody out. So again, praise the Lord, everybody. All right, now let's go over here to tonight. I'd like us to start in Mark, Gospel of St. Mark, and let's go to chapter number 14. All right, everybody there? All right. Now, I want to read a little bit of this story, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is, again, the last week in his earthly ministry, and I thought that would be appropriate for us to read on tonight and study about that. This Friday, many people in Christendom, am I saying that right? Throughout Christianity, we'll say it like that, we'll be celebrating Good Friday. Now, you know, there are different trains of thought, I must say. And people have valid arguments or points that they would bring out. Jesus Christ didn't die on a Friday. You know, I've heard different people want to argue that point. And there's those that would say it happened on a Thursday, you know, and we'd have a debate about that. I guarantee somebody, if you know, would open up and give me a rationale why they believe that. Then you have others that go deeper and say it happened on a Wednesday. And then, boy, we'd have the Wednesday team, the Thursday team, and the Friday team, and they would just be having that in the sanctuary. And I'm like, oh, boy, I just probably have to be a referee and talk about that. But to me, in particular, the when is certainly not as important as the who. Wouldn't you agree? Now, I'll let y'all have that argument. Y'all get on Facebook, you know, I'm a little, whatever, wherever y'all like to argue, about, you know, at. But to me, the who and the why is much more significant and important than the when. All right? Now, who died? I didn't die for it, because if I died, I hate to admit it, but, yeah, I can't say that I've lived a sinless life. And guess what? Neither could you. All right? And so thanks be to God that we had only one sinless man has come and walked the face of this earth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so we give God praise for Jesus and his precious shed blood, all right? So that's the who. And somebody in here, let me ask you, what's the why? Why did Jesus die for us? To save us from our sins, all right? And so I think that would be a whole lot more important. So y'all debate that, the when, and maybe you can enlighten me. I like to know details about things. I think that's important, but the most important thing is the who and the why. And let's get into this story on tonight. Y'all with me tonight in St. Mark chapter number 14. If you brought your Bible on tonight, say amen. All right. After 2 days was the feast. Now, we're going to read a little bit. I want to make it actually through chapter number 15 if I could. I almost wanted to play this. You know, anybody listen to the Bible on CD or DVD or something like that? All right, I wanted to play it for you, but I'll just read it to you. We can just take turns reading on tonight. And then if we have some points that you want to discuss or bring out a little bit more, we can do that. But I think it's even good if we just came together and just read the scriptures together. I think that would be a good thing. So that's what we're going to do for a little while. All right. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. What was this feast that was going on? I believe it was Passover. And they didn't want to cause a big ruckus on Passover, because Passover was when everybody would come. All kinds of people would come there. And, oh, this is supposed to be a good occasion where we're coming together. And certainly we don't want to do this because we don't want to start an uproar in the city. But notice, when did Jesus die? At Passover. The very thing that they didn't want to do is what they ultimately did, because Jesus Christ was actually the Passover lamb. And Jesus God was in charge. Amen? always in charge. It didn't matter what the conspiracy was, what the plot, what the plan was of his opposing forces. He always comes out on top, all right? And so if he says this is the day that he's going to die, it doesn't matter what you would do about how you wouldn't want to start a problem. You didn't want to start an uproar, but ultimately you're going to do what was planned out or in the plan of God to be done. All right, verse number 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of sphincter, very precious. And she brake that box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation. Now, if anybody was here on Sunday, somebody tell me verse number 3, what's a little bit different according to the gospel of St. Mark than it was? Where was that on Sunday? Was it John? I believe it was in the gospel of John I was. Anybody point out what was different between the two accounts other than Sister Michelle? I'll go back and read it again because half of y'all still asleep. I can look at your face and tell you you somewhere else in your mind right now. Come on, tune on in for a minute. All right, now listen to what she did with the box of ointment. The box of ointment of sphincter was very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. All right, now according to John, I believe it was, where was that on Sunday? Help me, Lord. Was it 11, 12, around that? Where was the box of ointment poured out? Who said it? Sister Donna, all right. I heard you did a good job at the sisterhood as well. Let's give the Lord praise for her. Good to hear her at Bible class. All right, so on his feet. All right, so you get one. And I believe it's the same woman, you know. And so I guess we can argue that again tonight. Was it his head or was it his feet? Now I'll let y'all go somewhere and argue that point out. A whole lot of different things that we see here, all right? All right, now let's keep going. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Now, you know what I love about this is that you got the Gospels. How many Gospels? There's four Gospels. Four Gospels. I'm giving you gave that one away. Four Gospels, four different people telling the same story from their vantage point. And that's a good thing, all right? Now, if you had something that you needed proof for, you'd want to pull several different witnesses. If somebody hit your car and you want to, the guy across the street looking out his window, the nosy neighbor, you want to hear her side of the story. The guy that's walking the dog, you know, the couple that lives behind you in the back. And you want to pull all these different witnesses, and each one of them is going to bring something out that's a little bit different, all right? But overall, when we read or when we hear all the different accounts, it helps us to put this story together. All right. So thank God that this same story has been written four different times. All right. Now, where do we leave off at? We're at verse number 4, or we have 5 now. All right. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. All right. Go ahead and read verses 6 through 8 or 6 through 9. You go ahead and take those verses. Go ahead. All right, and so his body's being prepared, or anointed for the burial. All right, but we have one that's here. All right, verse 10 and 11, go ahead, keep reading. You're doing a good job. Go ahead and keep reading. And Judas Iscariot. Uh-huh. Y'all hear that? Not only would he betray him, but conveniently, in a way that would work out for him, betray him. All right? Let's keep on going in the story. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall ye meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. follow him. Now notice that was a little bit different. What you're going to see here is a man that's carrying a pitcher of water. Now, normally it would be the women who are carrying the pitchers of water, but this is going to be a difference. There's going to be something that stands out, and you're going to see it. So follow him. All right, so the Lord needed a place, and the Lord sends provision for a place. Now notice these, they're just walking around. They didn't have anything at all. Didn't have the transportation. On Sunday, we talked about the donkey. They needed a donkey. Go on down there, and if anybody asks you any questions, just say, loose him, and say, the Father, the Father hath needed him. And they're not going to give you a hard time about it. You know, whatever the Lord would send you to do, the Lord would make provision for. So here they needed a place to gather. Didn't have a place that would be big enough. Didn't have a place that was appropriate. Didn't have a place at all. And yet the Lord sends provision, miraculous provision. Does that sound good to anybody else in here but me? Huh? All right, good. Verse number, 14. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber? Where shall I eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. They there make ready for us. All right, so this upper room is served two different purposes. Who knows the two purposes? Don't answer all at once. Anybody know? Two purposes. Where else have you heard about an upper room? Come on, is this a Pentecostal apostolic? What kind of church is this? My Lord. Where else have y'all heard of an upper room? All right. Okay. All right, good. So if you go there, me and Mike have actually had a chance to go there, and then, you know, it's a dual purpose, this upper room, but they would go back to this upper room, I believe, and this is where the disciples would eventually be filled with the Holy Ghost. Am I wrong? Fact check me. Get back to me on next week with that, all right? Okay, let's keep reading here. Verse number 15. And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And the evening he cometh with the 12. All right, your turn to read. Let's go 18 through 21. We're going to read a little bit on tonight. Keep going. Let's go. And they began to be sorrowful. Everybody asking, is it I? But really, you know, he probably knew what was in his heart. You know, I can just imagine all your friends sitting around eating, you know, salsa and chips or whatever. And then, you know, you reach in, you knew who you were and you know what's going on. All right, so let's see what he says. And he answered and said unto him, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. All right. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup when he had given thanks and he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. That stood out to me that they sung a hymn. I wonder what that hymn was. All right, verse number 27. All right, let's keep going. We almost made it through the chapter. Let's keep going. Don't get bored yet, y'all. 27. Hang on with me. Go ahead, read. Now, notice what he says, all ye shall be offended. What's going to happen, every last one of you, is, you know, in other words, you're going to scatter. I'm going to be left alone. Nothing caught him off guard. He understood what he would have to go through and endure, and he understood that those 12 disciples that he had groomed would ultimately not stick with him. Now, there was one, of course, by the name of Peter. Verse 29, but Peter said unto him, notice his attitude, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, and you know, that's how we be careful. You know what you say, not I. You know, it's almost like he didn't think this was possible. No, Lord, I love you, not me. Now, everybody else might go, but you know, I'm your boy. I'm your one. I'm going to be with you till the end. All right? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehement. Now Peter really turning up at this point. Not me, Lord. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Now notice all of them getting on Peter. We ain't going to be with you, Lord, all the way to the end. All right, but what happened? All of them fled. Let's keep reading, 32. And they came to a place which was named, All right, the same Peter that said, I'm going to be with you. Now notice what happens as the night goes on. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Has anybody here ever had something you didn't want to have to go through? All right, now, if you know if Jesus prayed this prayer, there's going to be some things that there's times that we don't want to go through certain things. And he said, Abba, Father. In other words, Daddy, you know, a term of endearment here. Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth him sleep, or them sleeping. You see, all the ones that said they would be with him already asleep. And saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Couldn't you pay attention in Bible class for 1 hour? Couldn't you just stay awake and not drift off? And we ain't even read a whole chapter, 1 hour. Couldn't you just stay? Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray. Come on. Why? The spirit truly is ready, but what? What's that mean? Somebody help me out with that one. The spirit is willing or is ready in this gospel, but the what? But the flesh is competing. Anybody have that war going on other than me sometimes? You got flesh warring against and competing with spirit. Spirit man want to do right, but flesh man want to do something else. Hello, somebody. All right. And again, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them sleep again. But the eyes were heavy. Anybody in here, the Lord just deals with you at night? All right? Since Kayla be up at night, everybody, I don't know what it is about me. I guess the Lord just leave me alone at night because I guess, you know, I ain't going to be no good. Nighttime for me. But, you know, here recently, it seems like I just been getting a little bit more. Night has been a little bit harder for me, especially last night. I was up a lot. Yes. I hear my wife over there. All right. Let's keep going. 41, and he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. All right, now verse 43. Now check out how he's betrayed. Has anybody in here ever gone through betrayal before? Nobody? Good. I hope you never have to experience that. Only one person, two people in here. Has somebody betray him? Anybody ever been betrayed by a close friend? Anybody ever been betrayed by somebody that you loved? Has anybody ever been in a relationship that didn't pan out the way that you thought it was going to pan out? You thought that person would be there, all right, and they didn't do what they didn't hold their end of the bargain, all right? All right, so notice this. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, and Judas was what? One of the 12. He was one of them. And with him, a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. What do you notice about the way that Jesus treated Judas? Judas was what? One of the 12. Now, we know that Jesus knew all things. Would you agree? Did Judas catch him off guard with this betrayal? No. But what did Jesus do? Did Jesus say, okay, well, the 11, you come over here, and you huddle up over here, and Judas, you sit over there because I already know who you are. You've been low down. You ain't fooling nobody. You stay right over there. And then you have, you know, at the Last Supper, they eating at the table, and there's a special little stool over there with a big old dunce hat or something for him to see. You know how some of us would do. How would we react to that? How would we treat Judas? Now, I don't know about you, Judas wouldn't be at my house if I had knowledge. If you don't even got a hint, if you know somebody steals, somebody got a, oh boy, my Lord. They're not getting invited to the dinner at all. They're not going to be around you at all. You know, but Jesus treated Judas a little bit different. All right, somebody said to me before, keep your loved ones close, but your enemies even closer. Anybody ever heard that before? Sister Sean, go ahead. And called him a friend. Yeah. Big difference. Brother Elder White, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now you can leave that last line off. That's what Elijah would want to do. Saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And it's something like that. It saith the Lord. But a lot of times what we do, vengeance is mine. says Jason Allen Chambers. You know, not the Lord. And we take matters into our own hands, and we can ultimately mess up what the Lord would do. Because we already know about the story about, they threw him down in the pit, his own brothers. Come on here, Joseph. Threw him on down there, and what's that famous verse in there? You meant it for evil, but God, how did God mean it? You meant it for evil, but God meant it, and not only for us, but to save much people alive. In other words, this thing is bigger, amen, than you. And quite possibly, if you let the Lord fight your battle, even your enemy could work out for the good of your life and the life of others. But sometimes you just got to wait on it for a little while, all right? Wait on the Lord. All right, now where do we leave off? We're doing pretty good. Almost made it through this whole chapter. All right, let's keep going. We're not quite there yet. Are we in 43? We're there, really? Okay, have we made it that far down, 43? Am I right? Okay, go ahead and read. I'll catch up to y'all. Read, go ahead. Okay, keep going. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, come on. He goes straightway to him and said, Master, Master. Not everyone that says Master, Master. Not everybody says Lord, Lord. Come on, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Who was that one? Peter. Now, Peter, at this point, Peter holding out. Now, remember what Peter told him. I'm going to be there, Lord, even in the end. Now, at this point, Peter's still holding on. All right? Peter pulled out a sword and chopped somebody's ear out. But is that what the Lord wanted him to do? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily, now listen to what he says. Have I ever acted like a common thief? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. Y'all see that? They all forsook him and fled, every last one of them, even Peter. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young men laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. In other words, he slipped right out of that garment. He took off running butt naked. And that person was who? Anybody know who that was? Mark. Yeah, all right? And anybody know? Now, we talked a couple weeks ago about why Paul didn't want to take him with him on the missionary journeys. Now, you already kind of see his character right here. All right? Now, let's keep going here on tonight. We almost made it through this. Let's just keep on going. Then I have a lot of other things I want to talk about. Y'all bored yet? Okay, let's keep on going here then. Go ahead and keep reading. Hold on, where are we now? Where are we at? 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witnesses agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses are witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered him nothing. I wonder if anybody else in here can hold your peace. Amen. Now, certainly the Lord has gone through more than what we are going through, and he held his peace. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Come on, you read. And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? We have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him. Listen to what your Lord went through. Come on, y'all. An innocent man, what he went through. Some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palm of their hands. Come on, verse number 66. And Peter, the one that said he would be there, was beneath in the palace. There cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming herself, she looked upon him and said, I know who you is. I know. And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch. And there he goes, the cock crew. And the maid saw him again. Now, you would have thought that he would have got the point and remembered the words of the Lord Jesus when he heard the first cock crow. All right? And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And guess what? He denied it again. And a little after that he stood by, said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean. And thy speech, you talking just like one of them. I know it got to be you. I know where I saw you." But he began to, now listen at him. Now at this point, he's trying to blend in with everybody else. Curse and swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." Come on, verse number 72. And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he wept. All right, amen. All right, good job, everybody. You made it through those chapters, or the first chapter. All right, now, I got to get to 15. Y'all just going to have to be mad tonight. I got some things I want to teach on, but I want to read the story. I feel like a lot of times we don't spend enough time reading our Bibles, all right? So can you just bear with me on tonight? All right, y'all still with me? All right, let's just read it just straight through. Everybody listening online, I'm sorry you tuned in tonight. All right, we'll do some more teaching in a little while. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And he answered and said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priest accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. Now y'all, you hear this? This is an opportunity for somebody to be released. Verse number 7, go ahead, read. And had committed murder. So this was like a murderer. All right. So who you want to have? You want to have Jesus or this murderer? And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? Come on, verse 13. And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto him, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, Crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to be to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, I believe. And they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns. How can you not be moved by this? Come on, y'all. This is your Lord and Savior. Come on, who took your place, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. Listen, look at how they're just mocking him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the palace, or to the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the what hour? What time is that, some Bible scholar? What time is that? The third hour of the day. Huh? Somebody said noon. I heard 9 a.m. There we go. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, He was numbered with the transgressors. Y'all see that? Numbered with those, the transgressors. An innocent man numbered, a sinless man numbered with the criminals. And they that passed by railed on him. So it wasn't over. Not only did he endure physically, but it was, emotionally and mentally and feeling abandoned and forsaken. And, and then when you up there, you already got all this going on, and then you got the nerve to, they mocking you, spitting on you, all these things. What a horrible death. You realize the word excruciating, do you realize that comes from that word? It's tied to that word crucifixion somehow. Think about that. Excruciating, all right? Verse number 29, are we there? And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. I'm so glad he didn't come down. My God. I'm so glad he didn't take that bribe, didn't listen to them. My Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody just take time, give God praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others. Now listen to them making fun of him. He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross. Get on down from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. Not only does he got to listen to it from below, but right next to him, the thief on the cross is giving it to him as well. Y'all see what he went through for you and me? And when the sixth hour was come, about noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Praise God. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out, and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. There were also among looking on afar off, among whom also Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the less, and of Hoses and Salome. Am I saying these names right? Salome? Am I saying that right? Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women came up with him unto Jerusalem. All right, almost done. We're doing good. Come on, I might as well finish it up. Verse 42, come on, you read for a minute. And now when the evening was come, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. Come on, 45. He gave the body of Joseph, and he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of rock, and rolled a stone into the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. All right. Amen. All right. Thank God for the word of the Lord, somebody. Amen. Anybody thankful for the blood of Jesus? I mean, when I think about how it was me that did the crime, it was me who did the sin, it was me who was, the penalty should have been on me, but he took my place at Calvary. I mean, even if you just read that story through, I know you've heard that story, but I just hope and pray that it never becomes commonplace to you all. I hope that you, when I read that story, that you wouldn't just become a space cadet, and then it would just, you're just so tired of reading this same old story every year. I hope you understand that thank God his blood is still effective. His blood is still efficacious. His blood is still cleansed. Somebody in here needed his blood just today. Thank you. And guess what? It's still just as powerful today as it was back then when he first shed that blood. Come on, give the Lord some praise, somebody. Power in the blood of Jesus. Now, a whole lot of power in the blood of Jesus. Now, you know, I hesitantly say this, but, you know, in your family line right now, some of you all, you got all kind of little things mixed into your blood. I tell you what, you might not think that you mixed up, but probably if some of you all actually took a DNA test, you'd probably be just as mixed up as I am. Be quiet. I ain't worried about none of y'all. Just as mixed up as y'all possibly probably can be in here. Now, look at all these different shades of skin that's in this room right now. And some of you all probably got some Irish blood in you. That's probably why you just mean as a joker sometimes. That blood's still running in your body right now. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, if you were all kind of different technical names they would give to people. Mulatto, you biracial. Then they got octoroons and all that. Anybody heard that other than me? You ain't never heard that before? See, y'all not mixed. Y'all know all these terms. But anyway, I'm being serious. I might have just made that up. But anyway, it was one particular law that stood out to me that just one drop. You got one drop of black blood in you. You heard that before. Anybody other than me heard that? One drop, and guess what? That black blood is so powerful. So potent. Boy, you got just one drop of black blood in you. You black. Lord have mercy. And when I thought about that, I couldn't help but think about how powerful The blood of Jesus. And I know some of you all, the only identity that you have might be is that you African-American or whatever you might be in this room tonight. But there's some of us who have a greater identity. My God. That supersedes our earthly identity. Is anybody glad to be identified with Jesus Christ? And let me tell you right now, that's some powerful blood right there. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord some praise. That's some powerful blood. My God, there was a whole lot more than just one drop. My God, Christianity is a bloody religion. If you don't like talking about blood, I mean, this whole thing is bloody. It's been bloody since the beginning. We went back here, put the scripture up for me, Leviticus 17 and 11. Leviticus 17 and 11. Give me that. For the life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood. And that's why the Jews, they didn't want you just running around just drinking a bowl of blood, because they believed the life of an animal would be in the blood. And that life belongs to the Lord. And don't you try to just drink. And some of those different pagan nations, they would actually try to take that blood and drink it as if they would absorb the life of that animal. And the Lord didn't like that, all right? And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, let's fast forward over here to Hebrews chapter number 9. Now, we've done a little reading on tonight. Hebrews 9, you're already in the reading mode. Let's just go through some scriptures. This is a bloody religion. But thank God, somebody, for the blood. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9. Give me a second here. I got my paper Bible on tonight. We're going back old school tonight. Might even sing some blood songs. Be thankful for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 9. Let's go down to verse number 11. All right. I believe I went right around there. But Christ being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves. Now, that old covenant, all it did was just temporarily roll back your sin. Temporarily covered it until the next year when you got to pay for it all over again. Because listen to what the scripture says. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Anybody glad to hear that word eternal? Not some temporary redemption, but what you just read, I had you read two chapters of your Bible. What he went through, come on, it's a great profit that comes from that. Eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. All right, keep on going. Verse number 15. Wake up in here, y'all. Come on, this is about to get good. 15, read. And for this cause. All right, what is it? Is this the old covenant? No, this is a New Testament, all right? That by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Come on, just keep reading. It makes sense after a while. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Come on. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Now, come on, remember the first time, the first old covenant, Moses came down and he sprinkled some blood, all right? Verse 19, for when Moses was spoken, had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of what? With water and scarlet wool, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. All right? It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Come on, verse 24. give me the translation on verse number 24. I want you to read this, and it's going to make better sense to you in just a moment here. Verse 24, the translation. Come on, read that. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands. Now, down here, all of these things were a prototype of something that was in heaven. All right? Okay? Which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. Come on, one more verse. Stay in that translation, verse 25. And he did not enter into heaven to offer himself again and again. Guess what? Because he didn't have to do it again and again. Y'all hear that? Come on. Like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. All right? Verse 26, keep going. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Amen. Thank God for the blood, somebody. All right. Now, real quickly, let's go through this. You can go back to Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 21. Give me that real quick and give me your attention right now. Come on. Now, Adam and Eve sinned. And God, he performed the first bloody act. All right, this has been a bloody religion for a long time. Unto Adam, also unto his wife, did the Lord God make what? And what did he make the coats for? So an animal had to die, and the animal covered him. All right, so we see this way back when. All right, we can even go back as far as to Passover. Let's go over here to Exodus chapter number 12. Thank God for the blood. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to be thankful for the blood before this class is over. Lord, I only got 29 minutes to help somebody be thankful for the blood. Come on, I got to hurry up and get here. Come on. Exodus chapter number 12. All right. 25. Verse number 25. Somebody say, bless him, Lord. Yeah. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. Come on, you got to keep this service, this Passover. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Come on, 27. All right, now let's go back up here to verse number 7 of the same chapter. Now, there was something that the Jews had to do. All right, verse number 7, go ahead and read. And they shall take of the blood. Come on. All right, now go down to verse number 13. And what will be the consequence of them doing this with that blood? And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, when I see the blood. Now, there's a whole lot of ways to kill a lamb. I can take a rock. I guarantee you I can kill a lamb. I can take that joker. And I can kill a lamb, I can take him, and I can put him in a bag. Now, my crazy mind right now, I can put him on into my muffler. And I guarantee you all that carbon monoxide will cause that. Don't look at me crazy, wouldn't it kill him? All right? I can take him. What's another way I can kill a lamb? I can hold that joker underwater. I can drown him. And he'd be dead, wouldn't he be dead? Might be a little easier. You know, now if it was an option, Brother Patrick, you know, I don't like blood. I can't even stand seeing blood come out of my own arm, so I would do it the easy way. You know, I can take something hard and bust him upside the head real good, you know, and maybe he would bleed, maybe he won't bleed. You know, a lot of different ways. But it had to be a bloody death. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. So they had to take that blood. You can't just suffocate the animal. Can't just hold him underwater. You got to shed the blood of the animal. Take that blood and put it on your doorpost. And so what I'm telling you, just like that Passover lamb, amen, if Jesus, they couldn't have just drowned him. It had to be a bloody death. Because without the shedding of blood, I would still be in my sins. Is anybody here thankful for the blood of Jesus? Come on, thank God for the blood. My God. And he understood what the price was, that the blood had to be shed. And I'm so glad that he took my place. That I didn't have to stand up there and hang on the cross and bleed out like that. My God. You know, it was my sin, but yet he paid the price for it. My God, how dare me not be thankful for the blood of Jesus when I recognize it was me. My God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's keep on going here. Without the shedding of the blood, no remission of sins. Let me stop here real quick. Let's go over here give me this. Hurry up, y'all. Hebrews chapter number 12. All right. No. Let's go back to Genesis real quick, real fast. All right, some more blood that was shed. Genesis chapter number 4, and give me verse number 8. Let's go back to Cain and Abel. Y'all know about Cain and Abel. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what happened? He slew him, all right? Now, he slew him, and some blood came out. And the Lord said unto him, Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse number 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Y'all hear that? In other words, this blood is testifying. This blood, it speaks of, it needs some vindication. It needs some vengeance. It needs some restitution, all right? So the blood is crying out. Now, look, go over here with me right now to Hebrews chapter number 12. Just stay with me on tonight. Hebrews 12 and verse number, verse number 22. Let's go there. Maybe verse number 23. Let's get to it because we've been reading a whole lot tonight. To the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Let me verse number 24. This is what I want. And to Jesus, come on, read everybody, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh. Hold on, wait a minute. No! Ran that stop sign, read that red light. I feel that. Y'all remember them days. Y'all ran over some things. What did you just run over? And the blood of sprinkling that speaketh what? That's what it is. Hold on. Remember what, when we go back to Cain and Abel, the blood came from the ground. It spoke up from the ground for vengeance. But what does Christ's blood speak? Rather than wrath and vengeance and vindication. No, his blood's, I got it covered. I'll cover them. It's speaking better things than that of Abel. Thank God for the blood, somebody. Oh, Lord, I only got about 22 minutes to help these people appreciate the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we got to hurry up. Come on, go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Come on, hurry up, y'all. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Is anybody really just showing up thankful for the blood of Jesus? All right. Thank God for the blood. All right, verse number 18, 1 Peter 1 and 18, all right. For as much as ye know that ye were not, go back there because I'm going to see if you run the stop sign this time. All right, go ahead. For as much as ye were not redeemed. What's that word redeemed mean? Somebody help me out. Redeemed. Buy back. Redeemed. In other words, I was over somewhere else, I had got, you know, I was where I didn't belong, where I was didn't want to be, you know, and I was a slave to that thing. But yet he came and he paid the ransom and purchased me back. He redeemed me. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with what? Corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, come on. But with as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Come on, thank God for the blood. Romans 5, verse number 9. All right, so we were what? We were redeemed. Let me give you another word, justified. Somebody help me out. What's justified mean? Made right. Anybody else justified? I love how people say just as if I never done it. Anybody glad about that? Now, let's go ahead and read this. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Doesn't that sound good? We were saved from what, everybody? Wrath. When we say wrath, come on, somebody paint that picture for me. What did we get saved from? Wrath. When you think about wrath, what did we have waiting for us had not Jesus stepped in and saved the day? Death, judgment, hell. Thank God for the blood. Elder White, yes, sir. We do have a responsibility to tell others about what Christ has done for us, amen. But that has to be in your heart to do that. If it concerns me how common and how stories like this really just don't excite us. It does. It concerns me. Even in the message on Sunday when I brought that out, just about, you know, everybody, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. As long as we think you're gonna do what I want you to do, and you're that genie in the bottle type of Jesus. And you meet my earthly needs and solving my earthly problems. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, but you know when I recognize and no, Lord, you're doing something else. But that something else is a much greater, a greater thing. Now, and let me bring this, just break this down for you all tonight. God has come to do more than just relationship problems, financial problems, health problems. And it concerns me when that's all we think that Jesus is about, if finances, relationships, and health problems, you know. And if he don't come through me, cook through for me and heal my body or put money in my bank account when I want him to put money in my bank account, because I will not wait on God. Or if he doesn't allow the relationship to get better, then I'm out of here. Because that's all life is about, is finances, health, and relationships. And, you know, the salvation of my soul is the least important thing to me. Shame on you. You better put a higher price tag on your soul. Do you realize that your soul is the most precious thing that you have? Come on, church. Thank God for the blood. My God. Now, I thank God that he'll come by every now and then and solve a relationship problem. Praise God. Yeah, I tell you what, he will. He can heal a sour relationship and bring together, you know, a broken home. Yes, he can. My God, I can tell you, I testify, he'll put money in your pocket. Anybody in here understand that God, he'll put some money in your pocket and make a way out of no way? Yeah, he will. Has anybody seen God come by and heal your body? But if God don't heal my body, and I ain't got no money in the bank account, my Lord, and the relationship don't work out, but if I'm saved, oh, it'd be worth it all. Thank God for the blood. Oh, because what would it profit me to have all this stuff and still not be saved? My God, greater problems. Thank God that he came to solve for me. Woo, you know, and that's, a lot of times as little kids, you know, that's all we can see is just the immediate things, the immediate problems. We don't see the greater issue that's at hand. And he prioritized, let me solve this bigger thing first. And then guess what? I'll come on by, you know. And guess what? If you would just give your life over to God. Hallelujah. I have seen God begin to give my life some favor. You know why? It's because I started getting on Team Jesus, you know, and I prioritized salvation over some natural things. And then I watched, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Has anybody other than me seen God do some great things in your life when you began to seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness? God, some of you come to church for the wrong thing. No, his brothers come in, you know, come in here for a girl, you know. Come on, shoot, girl don't even like you or whatnot. You know, but guess what? I tell you one, it ain't going to reject you. Oh, and his name is Jesus. My Lord, and if you just give your life over to him, maybe he'll send Miss Right after a while when you start getting your, because God got a way of just totally just changing your life around. Amen. And the best version of you is with Christ in your life. Hallelujah. He'll turn you into a more productive type of a person. Won't he do it, somebody? Come on, he'll make you a little bit more positive. Amen. Come on, amen. Won't he will, y'all? Won't he will? Won't he do it, somebody? Well, that's that one drop coming out. Won't he will? No. Oh, Lord, y'all. <okay. laughs> Oh, but he brings out the best in me. God, I thank you. You know, God has done far more than with my life than what I could have done with it. Oh, when you think about what you could have done with your life, don't you know that God would do exceeding abundantly above all that stuff? My God, he'll take you further than you ever dreamed and use you to do things that you never even thought that you can do. You just get a hold of some of this salvation, get that Holy Ghost power. Don't you know the scripture says you shall receive what? Power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you're going to be a witness. Amen. He will empower you to work for him. Come on, give your life over to him and let him wash you in this blood. My God. Hallelujah. Don't you know this blood is powerful? I'm talking about the I don't care how guilty, how stained, how sinful, how horrible, how embarrassing, how much you didn't want nobody to ever know. If you went down in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, all of your sins have been washed away. Somebody thank God for the blood. Oh, you got to do better. Yes! My God, and I wish we would start getting just as excited. You know, some of us, we run through the church for a new car. We run through the church, you know, when everything's just, oh, we're on the mountaintop and all our relationships, our health is just wonderful. And we don't have no problems. Oh, praise God. But this joy that I have, my God, sometimes I press my way, got pain in my body, got problems in my life. But guess what? I still got some joy because I've got salvation and I've been washed in his blood. My God. So I got something that can't nobody take away from me. Something that's more valuable. Hallelujah. Than houses and land. My God. Than riches and gold and fortune and fame. I got my name written in the Lamb's book of life. Thankful for God's blood. Hallelujah. My God. There ought to be some excitement about them type of things. Every now and then you ought to cut a step just because he died for you. My God, I'm serious. You ought to just go running around the church just because he shed his blood for me. And I didn't deserve it. My God, every now and then you ought to just stand up and testify. I thank God for washing my sins away. I was on my way to a devil's hell. I was messed up in my thinking, had my priorities all wrong, chasing after the wrong thing. But God got a hold of me somehow, washed all my sins away. And now I'm a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Come on, somebody. All things, come on, passed away. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. My God. So don't allow this story to be a dusty old library book. Don't allow this story to get all commonplace and old. No, this blood never loses its power. It's still, come on, effective today in 2024. My God. Yes, 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 Lord. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. All right, where are we? Come on. Give me Acts 20 and go to Acts chapter number 20. Oh, I just feel like giving you praise. Oh, God. Hold on. I didn't pull out the Pentecostal praise book. I don't even, some of these old blood songs, y'all need your help. I don't even know some of these songs. I can vaguely remember some of these songs. I really feel like, you know, we ought to, you know, and I'm not just saying that. I think, you know, sometimes we just, you know, we don't like nothing new. We don't want to have no new songs. The scripture does say, sing a new song. Come on. You know, and we just want to, oh, you know. But, you know, I think we ought to get some of these old songs out. I think I heard Brother Paul tonight. Oh, I'm so glad he came to Bible class tonight. What's the tune on it? Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Come on, let me see if y'all remember this. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Let me hear y'all. Oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Come on, was it for crimes that I have done? Let me see if y'all know the words. Y'all showing out. All right. Amazing. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Come on, church. Oh, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Thank God for the cross. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Come on, put your hands on it, y'all. Give me another blood song. Who got one for me? Help me out. Who's got another blood song? I know it was the blood. Come on, Sister Shine. Know it was the blood. Save me. Oh, one day when I was lost, my God, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood. Save me. And I thank him for the blood. Come on, thank him, y'all. I thank him for the blood. Mm-hmm. And I thank him for the blood. For it. Save me. For one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I thank him for the blood. Save me. Come on, keep the beat for a minute. Give me another one, somebody. Who's going to throw one at me? For the blood, oh, thank God. All right, give me a different one. Hold on, stop, y'all. Stop for a second. I'm trying to get this one. Y'all, I need you to stop so I can get it. I was trying to, you know how you're trying to flow and build a bridge to a song. The bridge just wouldn't get built. Brother Paul, I really might need you on this one. When I see the blood, Christ our Redeemer died for the sinner, paid all. Y'all about as bad as I am. Will pass, I pass over you when I see the blood. Oh, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Verse 2, chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. Take this book. Oh, what are y'all? Go ahead, purple. You know that.
Keep on singing. Where you at?
And I will pass
over you.
Oh, yeah. see the blood. When I see the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. All right, amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. You know, and it's crazy how those songs that you grow up, if we don't pull them out, we'll lose them. You know, and we got to be careful that we don't lose those blood songs. Amen. Amen. All right. Go here with me. I only got 5 more minutes left, and I'm going to let you go, I promise. Acts 20 and 28. Let's see what that says. Acts 20 and 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased. There was a price that he paid for the church, purchased with his own blood. Let me give you a couple more, and then we can go home. Give me Ephesians 1 and 7. Thank you, Lord. In whom we have what? Redemption. Thank God. We've been redeemed. Through his blood, the what? Has anybody here needed some forgiveness? Anybody here needed some forgiveness? Amen. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Thank God. Thank God for the blood. Let's go to Revelation 7 and verse number 14. What's another old blood song? Anybody know one that we ain't sang in a long time while we're getting that? 7 to 14, they got it already. I see a crimson stream of blood. It flows from Calvary. Its ways. Which reached the throne of God, are sweeping over me. I almost said sinking over me. Lord, help me, Lord. What's the rest of that? Rose. All right, amen, amen, amen. The crimson stream of blood. All right, 7 and 14, give me that. Y'all can sing in just a second. And I said unto him, all that singing in that church, y'all knew the word. I'm kidding. Take a joke. And I said unto him, sir, thou know. That's what they do in the old school. You know, you didn't know if to sing or to read or what to do. You always in trouble. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, thank God for the blood. All right, last one, Revelation 12 and 11, then we can get up out of here, y'all. All right? Are there any overcomers in here? I'm talking about some show enough really overcomers. You had some things that you thought that you never would overcome. It looked like you was just down and out. I mean, they were about to just strike down all the way to 10. Count 1, 2. Just you felt like you was just going out. But all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Saving the day, washing you in his blood, amen, and rescuing you from that horrible place that you were in. Come on, and they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Come on, let's stand together, amen. Amen. Come on, put your hands together as you stand. Let's give the Lord some praise for the blood of Jesus. Amen. I hope that as you would go throughout this week, this was my humble attempt. I know we just read the story on tonight, but I just never want that story to be commonplace to us. I really don't feel like that story really needs any embellishments at all. You know, there should be something about just that straight word that does something that touches your heart and causes you to be appreciative for what he's done. And so as you go through this week, we don't have a Good Friday service here at all or anything like that. But just throughout this week, I just hope before we get to Resurrection Sunday on Sunday, that you would actually honor the Lord Jesus, that you remember his death and the sacrifice that he made for you, and that you would be thankful and appreciative for the blood of Jesus. Let's put every head bowed right now. Lord, we just reverence you. Lord, even before the offering, God, Lord, we just take time, Lord, to put you above all things, God. Adamashaya. Oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Lord God, you are above all things in this church, God. You are above the music ministry, Lord, above Sunday school, God. You are above, Lord, every auxiliary, Lord Jesus. Father, you're above the choir, Lord God. Father, Lord Jesus, any other ministries within this church, God. Father, we prioritize you and we push you up to the forefront, God. Father, we want your gospel, Lord Jesus, to be declared within this church, God. Lord, we want your presence to be felt. We need you. You are the main thing. You are still the main attraction here at Agape, Lord. We thank you for the shed blood, Lord, at Calvary, Lord. Every drop of blood that was shed for me, God, and for my sins, Lord, I just thank you for it. Take time out to remember you and what you've done, God. Take time out, Lord, to remember the excruciating death that you died for me, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for everything, for the crown of thorns that was placed.